Well, this morning I want to talk to you about purpose and sacrifice. Purpose and sacrifice. Anytime you have a purpose or a cause that you're committed to, it's going to involve sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
Today, later on today, we have a little more than 100 men who will endeavor to win a prize, and to them, in their minds, everything up to this point and everything they're going to give today, the sacrifices, the blood, sweat, and tears, they feel like is worth the sacrifice. Amen?
Amen?
But for them, they get a prize. They get something, a personal gain out of it if they win for their sacrifices. But what about sacrifice that does not bring forth, does not manifest in tangible, personal gain? What about that kind of sacrifice? Amen?
Amen.
Well, when you have a God-ordained purpose, it is this kind of sacrifice that is nearly always involved. Amen?
Amen.
The key is to realize and understand and even to know that that sacrifice, that God-ordained sacrifice for your God-ordained purpose, that it's worth it. That's what God wants to talk to you about today. Amen?
Amen?
And we're going to learn about this topic by looking at the greatest sacrifice that's ever been given. And so for that, we will go to our text in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And we will utilize verses 1 through 8. Maybe we'll go to 9. We'll see. To learn about purpose and sacrifice by evaluating and learning from the greatest sacrifice we've ever known on this earth. We sing songs about it, but we're talking about really looking at it and seeing what this text has to offer. We're talking about purpose and sacrifice. We begin with verses 1 and 2, and they read this thusly. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, not so great to look at. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus emerged from a place that had no great reputation, and he emerged in his ministry without any fanfare. His calling, his purpose, his gifts were not really appreciated where they should have been known and appreciated the most. This is Jesus's testimony. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 3. He is despised and rejected, read it with me, of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. This sounds like anything but a success story, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like a success story. It doesn't sound like it's going to lead to a success story. It doesn't sound like somebody that's going to be popular or well-known or that's going to make a difference. Amen?
Amen?
Look at all of what he was going to have to endure. Would we be willing to endure anywhere near that? If so, what would we be willing to go through that for? Who would we be willing to go through that much for? And it's one thing to sacrifice for someone or something if you're acknowledged or appreciated. But what if you had to go through something? What if you had to deal with challenges? What if you had to suffer or sacrifice when there is no appreciation for it? What about that? Would you still do it if there is no immediate tangible response or reward? Amen?
Amen.
Would you do it then? Verse 4, read it with me. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
So now we've upped the ante. Not only for this sacrifice is there no real acknowledgement or appreciation, but now it's even worse. The very ones that you're sacrificing for are the very ones that do you harm. The very ones that you are sacrificing for view you in a negative light. Has this ever happened? I certainly know what this is like. The very ones that you're giving your blood, your sweat, your tears, your time, your energy, your effort, your resources for, somehow find a way, despite all of that, to see you in a negative light. Somehow not to give you the benefit of the doubt, let alone praise, let alone adulation, let alone appreciation, let alone acknowledge. Just don't look at me negative. But in Jesus' case, despite all of what he had gone through and all of what he went through, he didn't receive what he deserved. Amen?
Amen.
And so what if you went through all of these things in your life or your ministry? How long would you last? Would you stick with it? Would you give up? Would you turn around? Would you say, oh, forget it? Would you feel like it's worth it? Has it ever been tested? Have you had to reach way down deep? Amen? And decide, is it worth it? Let's go to verse 5. Read it for me.
But he was wounded
for transgression. Yes.
He was bruised for our iniquity.
Yes.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Yes.
And with his stripes we are healed.
Amen, amen, amen. Now he says, this verse says, but, meaning nevertheless, in spite of all the stuff we just talked about, not acknowledged, not appreciated, not looked at positively, not getting any adulation or reward for all of the sacrifice, but nonetheless, in spite of it all, he allowed himself to be beaten. He allowed himself to be whipped and abused. Why? For you and for me. Not because of something he did, but because we needed a solution to our sin problem. Amen?
Amen?
Not anything he was even involved in. He wasn't involved in that trickery in the garden. He wasn't involved. He should have been involved because Adam should have made him involved. But he didn't. Eve should have consulted someone. But in order to fix that problem, because covering it up wasn't good enough, it needed to be washed away. He went ahead and he sacrificed himself in spite of all of the negatives, in spite of all of the challenges, in spite of all of the burdens, in spite of all of it. Jesus did what we all know that he did. Read for me verses 6 through 9. Yes.
We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Yes.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted.
Yes.
Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter.
And as a sheep before his shearers. Yes.
So he opened not his mouth. He was taken.
Yes.
And who shall declare his generation?
Yes.
For he was cut off out of the land of living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken.
Go ahead and read 9.
And he made his grave with the wicked.
Yes.
And with the rich in his death. Because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth.
So Jesus, he wasn't the guilty party. He didn't do the crime, but he did the time. Amen. Who were the criminals? We were. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus had been beaten and mistreated and humiliated, and finally he died on the cross for us. But nonetheless, even though he hadn't received any adulation, any appreciation, he had been beaten, bloodied, bludgeoned, he submitted to his purpose. He embraced his purpose, just like we should. Amen?
Amen.
He decided that even though it was going to be painful, and look, but just in case you wonder, if he was so much God that he couldn't feel the pain, think about the Garden of Gethsemane. It was real. If there was some other way we could go about this, he would have been happy to take it. But he was committed to and embraced his purpose. Think about your purpose. He decided that we were worth it. What greater love have you ever seen than that? You all have a purpose. I have a purpose. There are people that need us here, and that we are here for.
Amen.
The question is, despite the toil, despite the difficulty, despite the delayed gratification, despite sometimes the heartache and disappointment and the struggle, the question is, are they worth it? Is God's glory in your life and on this earth worth it? That is the question. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in order to put Jesus' sacrifice, which was very real, into full perspective and to see it the way God sees it, we need to go back to verse 6. I know we went all the way to verse 9, but we need to come back to verse 6. And I'll read it for us. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we did the crime. But he took all of that onto himself. What I want to point out for you today, and what we're going to learn from, is something that we'd read right past. Somebody say, pay attention. We've studied this before, have we not? I've preached this before. And it's beautiful to go back and to see how the prophet Isaiah described in his own way, inspired by God, the sacrifice that Jesus was going to make for us. But what I want to point out for you today is really a single word. I want to talk about the imagery that is here. He says, all we, like what?
Sheep.
Like sheep, have gone astray. And we have turned each one of us our own way. So we went wayward. We did wrong. We made a mistake because of this sin-sick disease that we have. But all of that waywardness is laid on to Jesus. The imagery here is that of a sheep, and it is no small or insignificant detail. I want you to understand there is a reason why he said, like sheep, we have gone astray. Not a bull, not a donkey, not some stubborn animal. They intentionally described us as going wayward as sheep. This is not insignificant. Jesus did not die for us because we're evil or because we're bad. Jesus died for us because we are helpless and hopeless without him. I said, Jesus did not die for us because we are evil or because we are bad. We are helpless and hopeless without him. And without his blood, we don't even stand a chance. Those that are truly evil, Satan and the third that went with him, and anyone who chooses him over Jesus, they have no solution. But for those who would reach out to God in their imperfection, Jesus created an entree. He created a bridge. He created a solution for. But he didn't do it because we are bad. He didn't do it because we are evil. So I want you to imagine that while he's saying, nevertheless, thy will be done, he's not thinking I'm doing this for some dirty, nasty, evil people. He's seeing us like a sheep that goes astray, that one little mistake and then they're lost. One little trip and fall and they can't get up. He's seeing us as stricken with the inherited defect that even we had nothing to do with, and yet sin cannot abide in his presence. He knew that we were hopeless and helpless. I think about Life Alert, made me laugh. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. That's what it's like when a sheep falls. That's why the shepherd's staff has a curve on it to help pick them up. Amen?
Amen.
This is why Jesus died for us. I want to make that point very clear. Now, the language that is used, that the Bible uses, at least the translators use, and the ones that we see, they say things like iniquity and sin. So it sounds really terrible what we do. And it does hurt God's heart, the things that we do. But this language talks about the outcome, the manifestations. Jesus died to solve the actual problem. Jesus was not down there in the Garden of Gethsemane or up on the cross thinking about all of the symptoms of our problem, all the sins that we do. No. He was thinking about the disease. He was thinking about the actual condition. He was thinking about the fact that we are hopeless and helpless without him. He wasn't thinking evil thoughts about us, amen? We like sheep. Once we are lost, we cannot find our own way back. We cannot protect ourselves from predators. We are no match for Satan without the Lord, without his blood. And like sheep, once we have fallen, we cannot get up on our own. But a good shepherd, that would be Jesus, goes after his sheep that are lost. He'll leave the 99 in order to find the one. That's what a good shepherd will do. And the shepherd's true sheep, that would be us, they know his voice. And when they're lost, they're happy to have his voice find them. They weren't trying to stray. They're a sheep. All it takes is one little deviation. And when they fall, they'd like to get up and go back, but they can't. And so his sheep know his voice. And because he is their shepherd, they don't just hear his voice, they follow his voice and follow his commands. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus, as the good shepherd, not thinking bad thoughts about us, he sees that we are lost and he goes through great pains and anguish and sacrifice to do whatever he has to do to find us where we are. Not because we're evil, but because we are helpless and hopeless. Not because we woke up one day and wanted to break all of his rules or wanted to break his heart. He knows that we wrestle with this flesh. He knows that even if we wanted to be perfect, we couldn't be. And he knew that there was only one solution. The Father knew that. And Jesus was willing to go through with it. Amen?
Amen.
The good shepherd chases after even the one sheep. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful that he would have done it just for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Just for me.
Amen.
Just for me. Hallelujah, so that I can hear his voice and confess my sins and accept him as my Lord and follow his voice to safety.
Amen.
Follow his voice to safety. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Jesus made those sacrifices. He chased after us and he dealt with all that he dealt with in order to find and to save us. The point of all this, we're talking about purpose and sacrifice. We do the same thing for those that need us, those that we are called to make a difference for. It takes sacrifice to do ministry. Amen?
Amen.
It's inconvenient. Sometimes it's costly. Sometimes it's extremely tiring. You don't always get a return on your investment in the natural, or at least not very quickly. Sometimes you're not appreciated. Sometimes you're not noticed or acknowledged. But just like Jesus, we also accept and embrace our purpose, our God-ordained purpose, and the sacrifice that goes along with it so that we can help people on behalf of God. I don't know if you're feeling this now, but you might need it someday. You might get tired. It might get hard. It might get difficult. It might be painful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might get discouraged. You may be like Jesus said, oh, if there's any other way, can you give me any other assignment? Can somebody else do it? Woo! So maybe you've got a burden. Maybe you are called to make a difference in the lives of troubled youths. Somebody have a passion for youth that are in trouble, that are going the wrong way, or who are discouraged, or who've made some mistakes. Anybody got a passion for that? If that's the case, you don't look at the wrong that they've done, because they may have done some wrong. That's not what you look at. What you look at is their plight and their potential. So Jesus didn't look at all the wrongs that have been done and the wrongs that would be done. He looked at our plight and what we could accomplish if we were slathered with that blood. This is what Jesus was looking at. Hallelujah. If you're dealing with the burden and you have a passion for women who have been abused, or who find themselves in great straits, terrible straits in life, you don't judge their codependents. No question they have it. You don't judge their poor self-esteem. You don't judge the things that they did in order to survive. No, you don't. You look at their situation and you try to help them up or help them out. Jesus sees us the same way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you're dealing with the homeless, you don't go around judging how they got there or why they got there. You don't judge the fact that, you know, they might have stolen last night from somebody else. You don't judge the fact that they've been in and out of prison, out of the system. You look at what they need from you today. And this is what Jesus did. This is how he saw us. When he was on that cross, we were not bad in his eyes. We were not evil in his eyes. We were hopeless and helpless, and he had the only solution. This is how Jesus saw us. And so if you think about what it takes to make these sacrifices, you have to think about whether or not you have the gift that they need and whether or not in your eyes it is worth it. It may not always feel like it's worth it, but if you're called according to his purpose, then it ought to be worth it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Whether we're talking about a prison ministry, if we had one, or even the nursing home ministry, or even just on Sundays talking to saints. When you're called and you have a purpose, the people are worth it. The sacrifices that you go through, they are worth it. Now, what sets Jesus apart in this regard is that the sacrifice that he did was for folks that actually did the wrong to him. Now, how would you feel about helping the homeless person that stole from you last night? if the person is your loved one and they're on the street? Why do you leave them there? Why do you get sick and tired of reaching out? Because you're tired of being used and abused and robbed? They've been messing with you because of their drugs. They took advantage of you because of their drugs. Do we reach out and evangelize those people? It's not the same. It's not the same. If you're going to a prostitute and you say, oh, poor thing, I want to help you up and I want to help you out. You don't have to live like this. And then you find out your husband's name was in her book. All right, how much are we reaching out now? This is what set Jesus apart. He was able to do for us what he did, even though what we did was against him and the Father. That's what set Jesus apart. Amen?
Amen.
He still sacrificed in spite of it all. Now, we can't equal the love that Jesus had for us as we endeavor to do ministry. We can't equal it. But you know what? We can try with everything that we have. Amen?
Amen?
We are blessed and we are privileged to be trusted to dispense God's healing and God's love into people's lives. It is a privilege. It is an honor. It is a painful one sometimes. It is an exhausting one sometimes. But we get to dispense God's love and his healing to those who need it and those who want it. We get to extend his salvation solution to those who need it, and even more importantly, for those who want it. We get to pay forward the gift that we never deserved. We get to pay forward a debt that we could never actually repay. It is fulfilling your purpose to do the things that God has given you the gifts and the passions for. Whatever your role may be, fulfilling your purpose, the reason that you're here, it's worth it. Whatever the sacrifices may be, it's worth it. And as you ponder that, let's think about Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good. You may not get the reward immediately. You may not feel like you have all that you need to do what you need to do, but God will always provide where he guides. But all things, even the frustrating things, even the things that seem disappointing, even the times when it seems like it's taken a long time for you to get any return on that investment, all of those things, the naysayers, those who question your ministry, all of these things work together for your good. If you love God and you are called according to his purpose. We're saying where there is purpose, where there is a calling, there will be sacrifice. But we're also saying that Jesus paved the way and showed us that the people that you'll make a difference for and the glory that God will get from it, it's all worth it. To God be the glory.